When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
If you're thinking, I should go for a run today, but it looks like it could rain, Sierra says save on epic rain jackets. If you're also thinking, but I can't go out in these beat-up old running shoes, Sierra says save on top-brand running shoes. And if you're still thinking, but I'm also busy performing brain surgery, well, then we say, you really should have led with that. Sierra, let's get moving to your local store, like now. Go!
Hello and welcome to Oh My Dog with me, Jack D.
And me, Sean Walsh.
This is our weekly podcast where we reveal the most intimate, ridiculous details of our relationship with our beloved dogs.
I have the delightful, spirited Mildred Barrett, who is a cockapoo.
My streetwise best friend is Dolly, the long-haired chihuahua whom we rescued. This podcast sets out to answer the all-important questions like, how do you greet your dog? Do you kiss your dog on the mouth? Does your dog sleep in your bed? And so on.
Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any of our chats with our equally dog-obsessed guests who roll over and tell all.
You are very much part of this podcast too, and we want to hear from you. You can get in touch by emailing us at hello@omdpod.com.
And find us on Instagram at omdpod. So give us a shout and follow us on social media too. Hello, Jack. How are you?
Oh, really well, actually. Thanks. Are you?
Yes, good. Good, thank you. How's Dolly?
Dolly's very well. And Mildred, I take it, is bouncing around as ever?
Mildred is good. Mildred had two nights at her grandparents, but because she didn't want to come home.
Oh.
When I went to get... when I went to collect her... it was quite late, so I'm going to use that as the excuse. It was quite late, and I tried to get her to take her home, and she hid behind the sofa.
She so. Just didn't... She said, no, not again. I can't take it anymore. Have you been trying your material out on her? Is that the problem?
No, I'll tell you what it is, actually. Mm. What it is that her... Well, her grandparents. They are her grandparents.
Yeah.
I suppose. They have a massive, massive garden.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm telling myself it's that.
I think you can at least comfort yourself with that idea that it is.
Yes.
It's nothing to do with you personally. No. These are Grace's parents, are they?
Yes, these are Grace's parents. Mm-hmm. And it's big and it's flowery and the house is bigger. The house has carpet.
Oh, she must.
Lots of things to jump on.
What's your place like then? It sounds terrible.
They've got electrics.
They've got sheets on the bed.
The food in the cupboards. Water. They've got running water. Can you believe it?
Oh, my word. Luxury. Yeah.
No, but we have a nice little garden. But do you know what we have? And it's okay, but we have that AstroTurf.
Ah, right. Yeah, it's not the real thing, though, is it? They, you know, dogs would know that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you have to hoover AstroTurf? Because... you can get special hoovers for it.
We've got a special rake thing.
A rake, okay.
Thing, yeah. But no machine.
No. But you're pleased with it, are you? The AstroTurf? Pleased with your choice?
It's been here a long time. It was before Mildred. I wouldn't have that now.
Did you fit it yourself?
Did I?
No, I mean,
are you
not
asking me if I fit
it? I know you wouldn't have done it, but did you buy the AstroTurf and have it fitted? Or was it there when you got the place?
It was an early purchase.
Oh, so you did. Yeah, so it was you who did it. Good. We sorted it out.
I didn't have a
It's a simple enough question.
What's your problem with AstroTurf?
I haven't got a problem with it. It's just that it's quite a strange choice sometimes, I think. I think it can be. A tiny bit of lawn is quite a nice thing, but it's not judgment. I'm not being judgmental, but, you know, because I
No, you don't sound
that,
it.
No. But, you know, it's funny that you've carpeted your lawn, but not your house.
It's actually Grace that has refused carpet, Jack. I'm a big carpet guy. I love carpet. In fact, when I was round the grandparents' house, I was commenting about how much I love their carpet.
You like your carpet. So if Grace is brought up around carpet, why does she not want carpet?
Grace is, these are pressing matters. And yeah, unfortunately, Grace isn't here to answer that. But I can find out. I'll text her quickly.
Go on.
Just see if she gets back to me.
We'll see if we can get an answer to that by the end of the episode. It would be quite good to see what the problem is.
Yes. Okay, that's sent.
While we're waiting for that, and before we bring on our guest this week, very quickly, I just want to just say this. I was in the car. We were on a car journey with Dolly, and Dolly was sitting on Jane's lap. And so we gave her a little drink of water at one point. We pulled over. And so I had this very close-up view, profile view of Dolly drinking her water. Now, how do you think dogs drink water?
With the tongue. The tongue goes in the
and
water.
How does that work, though? If you were to... Because I've done this. I've tried to drink water out of a bowl like a dog.
What?
Okay.
What?
Well, just to see what it was like, you know.
Is there any video footage of this?
No, there isn't, but... I think you should try it, though, just because it's a very interesting thing. I noticed for the very first time when I watched Dolly so up close that the tongue doesn't go in and scoop up water front ways. The tongue folds backwards and lifts the water in. In fact, a bit like an elephant does with its trunk, you know, how it'll suck up water and push it into its mouth. That's how, if you look, and I've Googled it now, how does a dog drink? And it explains that the dog's tongue goes backwards. It forms into a cup and lifts the water into the bottom of the mouth. I always thought it was the other way around.
I want to use the power of editing to get someone else to ask a kind of standard question to you so that someone goes, so how have you been, Jack? And it just cuts to you saying, well, I've tried drinking like a dog.
It was only a laugh. I did it for a laugh. But anyway, honestly, you should see if you can do it.
That is interesting. I would, I would do it now if I had a bowl, but I don't. Sorry. We've got cups here. Mm. We have got cups.
Oh, that's good. But I just thought that was a bit of a revelation. I hadn't realised that that's so intricate. If you just Google it, you know, how do dogs drink? It's a lovely close-up thing. The tongue goes backwards and up into the mouth.
Can you show me?
I can't show you. Of course I can't show you because I'm...
So it goes that...
So your tongue, don't worry, listeners.
Sorry.
He's not having a stroke. He's just trying to talk with his tongue out. But it's your tongue would go downwards and turn into a cup and scoop water into your mouth that way. Which is why, it's not the only reason they have a very long tongue. But I looked into it and found out why dogs do that. Do you know what it is?
No.
Because they just like it. I'm being irreverent. That's Simon the dog expert's answer to quite a few of our questions so far. But anyway,
that is very insightful. Well, do you know what? I'll look out for that.
I want to hear from other listeners if they knew that or if that was a revelation for them and how that's changed their lives.
And also, but also any other details that they might have noticed, like you did, just looking close up.
Yes, exactly. Let's move on, shall we?
Yeah, well, we've got a voice note.
Let's have a listen to that.
This is from Mark and Magda from Seaford.
Seaford, and, that's it.
Yes, they've sent us their song for their 3-year-old Springer Spaniel.
Oh, I'm looking forward to this.
The song's about.
Hi, Jack and Sean. This is a little song that me and my wife sing about our Springer Spaniel, Watson, whose nickname is the Poffle. Hope you like it. Someone is a Poffle dog. Someone is a Poffle dog. Someone is a Poffle dog, and he ain't got no balls.
See, that is a lovely thing to hear, and I suspect that I have made two friends out there who understand why I would have tried drinking water like a dog.
Yes.
Because I want to sort of see what it's like. I just want to see what it's like.
I think they're with you.
That was a brilliant song.
That was very good.
Lovely harmonising. Thank you very much.
Yes, release that. Get that up on the web. And keep them coming in, by the way. We enjoy those songs or any queries you have, anything really that you want to get in touch with us about, you can send in a voice note on Instagram at omdpod or by email at hello@omdpod.com. Now, Adam Bloom is an award-winning comedian, writer and author. Since the late 90s, he's appeared on countless TV shows, such as Nevermind the Buzzcocks, Mock the Week, Live at the Apollo, and he has toured the world. His new book, Finding Your Comic Genius, an in-depth guide to the art of stand-up comedy, has just been released, so look out for that. But we don't want to hear about all of Adam's amazing achievements. We want to get to know him through his relationships with his dogs. Hello, Adam.
Hello, Adam.
Hello.
Adam Bloom, it's wonderful to have you on the show. Thank you so much for joining us. Now, I know that you don't actually live with a dog, but you have dogs in your life. So can you explain?
So I got two daughters, and when they were 2 and 5, they were begging me for a dog, and I didn't want a dog because I already had a 2-year-old. That's enough. That's enough poo, isn't it? And then I gave in, like all men do to their daughters. I gave in, and then when my marriage sadly failed in 2015, I moved out. So I didn't just not live with my children anymore. I didn't live with my dog anymore. I mean, no offense to dog owners, but your children are more important than your dog. I'm probably going to get abused now on Twitter for that. But so
very unpopular view on.
Well, put it this way, if I could take one of them with me, it wouldn't have been my dog. So
okay.
Yeah, because I wanted to separate my children to ruin their lives as well.
So was it, I mean, obviously it's a traumatic thing anyway, the breakup of a marriage, but did it add to the sadness for you to not be with your dog anymore, or were you not that bothered?
No, it added to the sadness. I suppose it's a bit like you've been kicked in the stomach and someone gives you a Chinese burn.
At the same time, okay. That's a good comparison, So occasionally do you step in as a sort of weekend dog owner?
No, I don't. So what I do is when I visit them, we have a little stroke at the door, but I managed to, I mean, this probably sounds like quite a callous approach, but I managed to kind of go, look, that's their dog now.
Okay.
I've got wonderful memories. I didn't have them for that long, maybe a year.
No. Did you kind of emotionally detach yourself from this dog? Yes. But did you, in that year, did you not come to, I assume you did, love the dog?
Of course. Very much so.
Yeah.
So what we do is when we go out for lunch, and I go out with my ex, we go out together. In fact, you'd think we were a happy family, but oh my God, we're not. But the point is, we go out together. So I spend time with my dog.
All right, keep it light.
Just get that in. Keep that in.
No, you know, it's the best it can be. It's your friends with your ex. We don't meet up and hang out together, but we do. She's a very sweet human being. And I think the way it's panned out is actually beautiful compared to, you know, some. Have you read The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime? That just sprung to mind.
Things don't add up so well there, do they?
No, the book starts with a child with Asperger's. Says the dog was lying in the garden. The dog was not moving. There was a fork in its back. That was the opening line to the book.
Right, that's the okay.
Yes, I remember that. Yes.
Which is the only novel I've ever read, by the way.
Yeah,
I look so literate.
What?
Perfect comparison when her ex stabbed the dog in the garden to spite his wife. It's such an accurate cultural reference as a comparison to what I'm not doing, and it's the only cultural reference I can make from a book. What a lovely coincidence. I read a book about a dog being killed by an ex.
Just that one thing, it sounds like you needed to read that book, and it's helped you through the trauma.
Sean's dying to ask me a question, though.
Well, it's just you've only read one book, but you've written a book. You've written the same amount of books that you've read.
I've written twice as many words as I've read. Yeah.
Going back to the dog, because you sent through a lovely picture of your daughters during lockdown, I think, and there were two dogs in the picture.
They've got a new one since me.
Ah, so there's a new one in there.
Okay.
Does the new one think of you as a bit of a sort of stepdad, or there's nothing of that?
I think the new one feels quite safe because he knows that he's not going to get a fork in his back if things go sour.
Yeah. He's obviously been warned by the old dog. Yeah. What's the old dog called, by the way? Is it
Lolly.
Oh, it's a sweet name.
She licked my daughter when they met, so she called her Lolly because you lick lollies. I didn't bother pointing out the inaccuracy of the analogy.
Yeah, it's the wrong way around, really, but yeah.
Yeah,
it is. It should have been called Lolly Consumer, really, but that would have been a humorless thing to have said to your child at that point. But yeah.
What dog is it? Sorry. What dog is it? Sorry, did I miss
Dijon Free Jack Russell mix. I tell you, it was lovely. My daughter would go up to strangers in a park and just the confidence. She'd walk up to strangers with dogs and stroke the dog, and she'd go, "Oh, yeah. What is it?" She'd be like, you know, 5 years old, and they'd go, "You know, it's a Dalmatian or whatever." And she'd go, "Oh, mine's a Jack Russell Bichon Frise mix." It was just so lovely, this, you know, having a dog owner chat, those magical dog owner chats.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Do you see yourself at any point now or in the near future going back to getting a dog again?
No, because I live on my own. And as you all know, that's a lot. I mean, no, you've got to start paying dog walkers. And but I feel, and also feeling guilty when you're away.
You could maybe, if things got a bit better, if your personal circumstances improved, let's say, if that's not, I mean, obviously, like all great comedians, your private life is an unmitigated disaster. But if your life was to improve, Adam, is it one of your things on your wish list to have another dog at some point in the future?
No, the thing is, I love my dog dearly, and I could tell you so many stories about why I love my dog and some magical moments we had together.
Just, of course, yeah.
Just amazing moments that you'll never have with a cat. Sorry, but you won't. And I grew up with four cats, so I know the difference. And, you know, I mean, there are cat lovers who don't like dogs, but to me, it's just, you know, the difference is immense. And cat's just a bit of furniture, isn't it? Cat's like a cushion in your house that moves occasionally.
So you've got cats, have you?
No, I grew up with cats.
Oh, you grew up with cats.
I grew up with cats.
The reason I wouldn't have a dog, that sounds like an Eddie Izzard routine, doesn't it? I used to feel guilty when we went out as a family that Lolly was on her own for 3 hours.
Of course, yeah.
So the idea of having that, you know, for long enough for a dog to feel properly lonely, I couldn't deal with. And I can't afford dog walkers. Dog walkers is a real expense, isn't it? A daily, constant expense.
I think it's a responsible approach to take. If you know you're not in the right position to look after your dog as you would like to, then don't get one just yet.
I was going to say, if only poor people took that approach to breeding children.
Well, oh, there. It's been lovely having you as a guest, Adam.
Well, I think there was a moment earlier when you asked me questions about my dog and if I'd have another dog. It felt like I was social service interviewing me about an adoption process.
Yeah. Want to temporarily restore definition in your jawline where it's been lost over time? With Juvederm Volux XC, you can get a non-surgical jawline treatment that adds volume for a smooth contour and to reduce the appearance of jowls in one in-office treatment with little downtime. Juvederm Volux XC Injectable Gel is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergic to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
You talked about having those lovely moments with a dog, and you said you could tell us loads. What are one of them?
I'll tell you both of them.
Yeah, go on.
We trained Lolly to do wheeze on those mats, those absorbent mats we have in the kitchen.
Yes.
And one day I cleaned it up, but forgot to replace it. And I was upstairs and no one else was in the house apart from Lolly and myself. And she was barking at me. And I was busy, you know, I was in the bathroom, in the shower, whatever. And I came down as quick as I could. But by the time I got down, she'd weed on the floor. It touches my heart that she was going, "Adam, Adam, I need a wee. You haven't changed the mat. Do you know, Matt, I'm going to hold it in." And eventually she gave it. And it breaks my heart to think there's a moment when she went, "I can't go anymore." You know, I mean, it's so heartwarming. But she could have weed immediately and shouted to say, "Ha ha, I've just weed on your kitchen floor." Who knows if she held it in, but I'm pretty sure she held it in. And it's a bittersweet feeling because she was calling me, hey, all you can do is bark, right? And it must be so frustrating when your vocabulary is one word.
Oh, that's sweet. So that's the moment that you've kept with you. And to some extent.
No, there's another really beautiful one. So we had stair gates to stop her getting up the stairs. And then,
sorry, Adam. Sorry, I was just going to say, I don't think most people's most beautiful moment with their dog is their dog weeing on their carpet,
having been traumatized by holding it in for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Listen, I almost find it harrowing that she was holding till she couldn't give up. Right? I don't know what she went through, how long she was, but it's so touching that she was going, "Hey, Adam, You made a mistake. And it's just the fact that she cared, the fact that she didn't just do it.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. And the Stairgate story?
This is so beautiful. It's a house on three floors. That's not a boast because I don't live there anymore. And if I had it my way, it would be a bungalow. Anyway, one staircase to stop her going up on the first floor. And what she did one night, the girls were all away, and I was fast asleep on the top floor, and she managed to get over two staircases. There were two staircases to sleep with me because she wasn't well. She had the runs, so she probably wasn't feeling well if she had the runs, because it's a sign you might not be feeling well, right? Yeah, and she's rather than sleeping in the kitchen. No, she's got little room for herself. What she did was she managed to jump, pole vault over these two staircases, came into my room and slept at the bottom of my bed with me. She didn't see those staircases as me keeping her away. She saw them as hurdles between her and her owner. And she got there.
Because she wasn't feeling well. She wanted to be with you.
Yes. And she'd never done that before. Isn't that beautiful?
Oh. Yeah, it is. It's very nice.
I picked her up and kicked her out.
Had you just forgotten to put a mat out again? Is that what it was?
That's what I love is that the fact that she thinks, like, if you're a child and you do something naughty, let's say you climb on a chair and you steal some sweets from the top shelf in the larder. Do people have larders anymore? And if you did that and your mum caught you, you'd be ashamed. But she saw it as an achievement to get to me, because she didn't see those gates as a barrier on purpose. And it's just so lovely. Yeah. She's like, don't worry, Adam. I finally got to you. We're together at last.
Yeah. don't worry about those gates.
And then I realised, go on.
No, go on. Yeah.
Oh, so you're so polite. God, if only all chat show hosts were this polite, rather than making it about them and talking over guests. And
We're just two gentlemen running a podcast.
There we are.
Well, I don't know what a larder is. Sorry, I don't know what a larder is.
No.
Larder?
No. It's a room behind the kitchen that posh people have to put their cans of baked beans.
Oh, okay. I thought that was a pantry.
It's another word for larder, isn't it? Yeah, pantry.
I suppose so. There's a good question. What's the difference between a larder and a pantry? Larder, it's a dated word, isn't it, Jack? You've given your age away by knowing what I'm talking about.
Just the fact is, because I've read more than one book, I do know what these things are. I do know what these things are.
Sean hasn't displayed any evidence of reading more than one book.
I think he wears his learning lightly. I think he's a very well-read man, Sean, once you get to know him.
I've read all of the Mr. Men.
When Lolly left a poo stain on the bed and it didn't bother me in the slightest, that's when I realised I truly loved her. And I think that applies to all relationships.
I wouldn't say that. You can go off, people. Tell me, Adam, I've got on your CV here that you did Dogstival. Is it a dog festival of some sort?
Amazing. What's that and how can we get booked?
I got parked off. It was amazing. It was a festival where people brought their dogs. Not one single person there came without a dog. And there was loads of stalls with people promoting stuff and all the endless things you can buy for your dog. And we did one gig and then a kind of game show where we talked about dogs. It was great fun. You do so many different gigs. You do a gig where all the audience are gay, or all the audience are Asian, or all the audience are from another country. Who are doing New Zealanders, and you're the token English person. I've played to rooms, but I've never played to where 30% of the audience are dogs.
Amazing.
And where is this festival? If people want to go, is this a yearly thing? Is it still going? Can people go?
It is, but I got a feeling they won't be booking comedy again because a couple of people didn't have a very good gig and they went, no, it doesn't work. So it was actually a bittersweet experience. You know those festivals where the comedy is not announced? So, by the way, I want to make this clear, because that festival was beautiful for dogs and dog owners. But you know when comedy just appears out of nowhere and people go, why is there a person talking about their willy?
No, it doesn't work in all occasions, does it? So, but you had a good gig. I imagine you did very well, didn't you, Adam?
Yeah, I think it was the luck of the draw, though. I happened to go on to people who were sitting on logs eating lunch. And so they were like, oh, okay, there's a comedian. You know, it's like, I remember seeing Ed Byrne at Reading Festival. He was playing with Motorhead, or one of those kind of bands, in the next tent. Yeah. So you've got 2,000 Ed Byrne fans who can't hear him. And then you go on, you know, oh my God, I followed Mark Thomas at Leeds Festival in his pomp. And 2,000 people left the tent, leaving about 150 for me. And I tell you what's kind of strange. And this is about dogs, but you know, we can briefly tangent, right? Mm-hmm. I went on to maybe, you know, realistically to 200 people, and I'm playing it like I'm playing to nobody and just, you know, look center distance and just keep banging out some material so the people listening can at least enjoy it. And gradually people started coming into the tent. And then I realized at one point I'm performing like I'm playing to nobody, just keep going. Then I realized there were 1,000 people. But if you add up one person, one at a time or two at a time, to 200, there's no noticeable moment when you're playing to low. There's a Chinese 2,000-year-old philosophical question that if you took a hair from a man's head, one at a time, at what point does he have a bald patch? And the reason this can't be answered is, if you said yes on one hair, if I put one hair back again, by your own definition, that's not a bald patch. And of course, it clearly is, because one hair doesn't stop a bald patch being a bald patch. So it's an impossible question to answer. And it was the same for, when is a comedian not dying on his ass anymore?
Right, I see, yeah. Yeah, no, you make your point very well. Take that one. And what was there for the dogs, though, at the dog festival?
Oh, God, a million. Joshua, I could have made that more current by saying, if you pull a hair from a dog's back one at a time, at what point does your dog need to see a vet?
At what point did the RSPCA intervene? Yeah.
But what about this dog festival? If it's near enough, I would like to go. Mm. I'll take Mildred.
I think it was at Broadlands Park in Hampshire. That's the note I've got here. Does that sound familiar?
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. It does. There's a million things, like, you know, it's a bit like prams for kids. You can buy things to attach to prams. You know, people in third world countries, they wrap their kid in a blanket and strap them to their shoulder, and that's fine. You know, the accessories. Really, what does the dog need? Some water, some food, and a cuddle.
Yes.
Oh, and a ball, and a drone. A drone to film the ball so the dog can watch the film of the drone when he gets home.
So, yeah, I can imagine that all kinds of paraphernalia is for sale at the Dogstival. And I don't suppose it was a music festival, really, was it? Because dogs wouldn't be into that.
No music. Just high-pitched sounds that only they could enjoy.
So I think from what you said, when you were living with your dog had their own place to sleep downstairs.
Yeah, the downstairs loo.
Oh, yes, okay. Allowed on the furniture?
Yes. We had, what's it called, a Chesterfield sofa. That was fine. The little loo, the kitchen. So there's a kitchen, then a breakfast room.
Yeah.
And then a little loo and a laundry room. The little, tiny little loo became Lolly's room. And it always amazed me when you go, okay, bedtime, and she'd rush into there, go in there and sit on a little sofa thing, whatever it's called, and then shut the door. Because I remember thinking, this feels like cruelty. But that's what they love, right?
Security. They like to be there. Unless they decide to make, you know, the ascent of the stairs to see Adam.
Oh.
Where do you stand on dogs kissing you on the mouth? This is what we always ask our guests.
Never, ever, ever.
You're ever, shaking ever. Your head. No.
I ever, ever, ever.
No.
No.
Why would
no.
you do that? I don't even snog someone who's got bad breath.
I suppose why people will do that is that they allow the dog to show their affection, or what they think is showing their affection in that way. But it's a straight answer. Some people do, some people don't.
Yeah. Well, like, I won't allow Mildred to actually kiss me on my actual lips, but kind of the chin, like around here, is like a sign of affection, kind of on my beard.
Yeah. And if you do, there's no people taking pictures of you in the distance.
There could be, yeah.
Yes.
Sorry.
Dolly licks me in the ear. She likes to lick me in the ear. She'll spend quite a lot of time cleaning my ears out. So,
are you serious?
I'm being very serious. Yeah, she's got a tiny little tongue. She's Chihuahua.
Well, Lolly adores the other dog, Jeff, and Lolly apparently cleans Jeff's ears in an adoring way. But Jeff never returns the favour. And I just wonder, at some point, does Molly think, I'm doing everything in this relationship. This is not working.
It's a sign of respect. We had two dogs exactly the same. And Walter would always clean Darcy's ears, but it was never reciprocated. And it means that I am seen as a senior authority figure in our household by Dolly. And I think that counts for something.
It's almost the good old days of marriage.
That was said with a note of sadness and...
Yeah, I know.
My ears are filthy right now. Filthy.
I bet they are. You need to get a dog or some Q-tips.
Yeah.
Well, Adam, it's been fantastic hearing all about your life
with dogs and Lolly and how that sort of came to a bit of an end. But it was a very nice insight into your world. So thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Adam.
I want to say I'm fans of both of your work. So it's quite nice to do a podcast. You know, I did one the other day, but I respected both comedians. It's really nice talking to people who you can look at and go, I love what you do. You know, I grew up watching you, Jack.
No, that's very kind. You. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I grew down watching you.
Yes. Well, I grew up watching you, and I'm a big fan. So thank you.
Now
thank
we all so love much. Each other.
No, thank you. Listen, thank you so much for having me. It's been an absolute joy.
Oh, there's Adam Bloom. What a great guest to have on this week.
Fantastic. That's the second person we've had on who actually doesn't own a dog.
That's right, yes.
We had Sue Vincent, who looked after dogs.
He was a renowned comedy dog mother.
Yes.
In the world of show business. All her friends' dogs come and stay, which is this is a great way to sort of have relationships with dogs, isn't it?
And sad that Adam had to kind of have that emotional disconnect.
Yeah, yeah.
That he had, which must have been tough.
It's something that we haven't heard much about. It's like what happens when a relationship ends and who gets the dog and then how do you cope with that?
I think the dog will cope.
I think the dog probably coped very well.
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes you realise it's we're lucky to live with a dog and be in a relationship with a dog. I think that's an upbeat note to end on this week. Yeah.
That's it. Well, thank you for listening to Oh My Dog. Every week we get all these insights from our guests. We hope you're enjoying getting to know a different side of them through their relationships with their dogs.
Yeah, and don't forget to get in touch by emailing us at hello@omdpod.com and find us on Instagram @omdpod. So give us a shout there as well.
Yes, we'd love to hear your voice notes. Oh, great. Grace's message back about the carpet thing.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that's good. What's she say?
First of all, she said, what do you mean? Because I suppose out of context, I suppose it is a strange message. I should have thought that through.
Did you send to her, why don't you like carpets?
I put, what is your problem with carpet?
That is a strange message, I think. So, yeah, fair enough. She wants a clarification.
Yes, understandably. Well, she then kind of managed to use some initiative and put together, probably it was something to do with the podcast, and she put, why did I pull up our carpet, do you mean? Because Mildred had destroyed it, so it was all patchy where the bed had been. It had to go. There you go.
So that's why you don't have carpet where you live now.
That's it, yeah. Cliffhanger stuff.
Yeah, well, now we know. And so when you see Sean out gigging... You know why? Because he wants some carpet.
Oh, goodbye.